The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
All right, welcome back to Mind Pump, ladies and gentlemen. This show is about fitness, nutrition, a lot of other random shit. We tell a lot of stories about when we were in the fitness industry. Trying to keep a straight face here, sitting next to these guys. Justin's giving the air blow job next to me, trying to make me laugh. So I want to talk about something that we've been in the fitness industry for a long time. I've been doing this for, Jesus, how old am I now? 17 years I've been in this industry. And I've seen some funny shit. And I want to talk about some of the crazy shit people do that they think helps them lose weight.
Oh, God.
You know, some of the stupid things that people do. That,
oh, God, this is such a great topic. I'm in love with this topic already.
They just persist, right?
Yeah.
So I'll start off with one. This one's one of my favorites. People will go into saunas. Oh, or they'll wear lots of clothes to make themselves sweat because they say they're, you know, I'm going to sweat, so I'm going to burn tons more calories and get leaner. Let's talk about that.
That's still a very, very prevalent mentality a lot of people have, and I see that with the big hoodie sweatshirts and the gloves and like the whole regalia, like the sweats and all that. And I mean, the only thing I could see from that is, like, you know, your wrestlers or your boxers or somebody like
trying making weight.
Like making weight, yeah. But yeah.
No, it makes no sense because as soon as you fucking go over to the water fountain and you suck down freaking half a gallon of water because you're still thirsty,
right back. Boom.
You just put all that water weight that you just
sweat. Yeah, you do lose weight when you sweat your ass off in the sauna. It's called water.
Well, right. here's
you're not losing, you're not sweating fat out of your skin.
Absolutely not.
By the way, if fat is oozing out of your skin, you call 911 immediately.
Well, here's an easy one for you to figure this out, put this together. Like, you ever notice when you go to bed, you know, right before you go to bed, if you ever weighed yourself and then you weigh yourself first in the morning, especially if you do drink a good amount of water every day, you probably fluctuate anywhere between 3 as a female all the way to a male. I mean, I fluctuate up to 12, 13 pounds through the night. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, that's because you wet the bed.
Yeah. No, I mean, I drink a lot of, that's obviously when I'm in contest.
Is that the same when you're on your period or when you're
It's obviously when I'm pushing, 2.5 gallons of water through my system and stuff like that. But, you know, I'll lose up that high. I've gone up to 12 pounds before. It's consistently like 9, though, about 9 pounds.
Wow.
Every time. Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, I mean, it's water. You didn't gain or lose body fat, much body fat in the middle of the night.
It's a fluctuation, yeah.
No, so sweating, extra sweating. You know what's funny? I love this. This is my favorite thing about myths in fitness. Half the time I discover when these myths come out and they just persist, half the time when they do studies on them, the exact opposite is true. Did you guys know that cold actually makes you burn more body fat than hot?
Oh, because your body has to heat up.
So they burn more that, what is it, brown fat?
Yeah,
that
hard fat. It fights harder to stay warm.
Well, yeah,
more logical sense to me, though.
And that was the argument before of putting the sweater on and getting the sweat was thinking that you're getting that thermogenic effect because you're making...
You're heating everything.
Which is hilarious to think that, right? I think it's so great that the study comes out that it's completely opposite.
It's the opposite.
It's like you would be better off running naked. Actually, then
depends what you look like. Send us a picture at mindpump.no.
Damn, I'm 100% wrong. Great, more cocks now, bro. Way to go.
Sorry, brother. Sorry. Send them to Adam. We love to eat Adam.
But there's so many other ways that people like use this mentality of sweating it out, right? Like also like with the wraps. Like if you guys,
so what are they? So explain those.
So I mean, I don't know a whole lot about them other than the fact that they put this heated wrap across like specific areas of your body because they're targeting body fat that's inconvenient for you. but I mean, that's it, right? You sweat it out and then...
Well, these wraps are like, they're like plastic.
They're expensive. You go to like some of these tanning salons and it's like $175.
And they will temporarily remove inches off your waist.
Yeah, it suck all the sucks water.
Water.
It's
out of
temporary.
Body.
It is not permanent. If you want to look good for the next 6 hours or 12 hours, then a wrap works. If you have a photo shoot, or you're going to get married and then, you know, you're going to get fat again or whatever, that's fine. Which is, that's not cool, by the way. That's fucked up. Yeah, so, but it's, there's nothing permanent about it. They're wrapping your waist with this material and it sucks the water out of that area.
I think that's...
What about lasers, dude? Can we get to like coal? Is it, what is it? Blue laser or cold laser? There's this whole sort of therapy now that's
supposed to destroy fat cells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just basically like they run this laser across your skin and they heat it up. Is that, am I correct in that? Or?
You know, I'm not quite too sure, but this is what I do know about science, is that if you destroy a tissue, if you literally destroy a tissue in your body, it's bad. And you're not burning it. You still have to burn the body fat.
You're burning
if you want to damage fat on your body, here, I'm going to tell you an easy way. You don't have to go pay for someone to shoot.
Light yourself on fire. You should pour some gasoline on your arm and light yourself.
Side effects, spontaneous combustion.
you may die.
This is what you do. Punch yourself as fucking hard as you can in your arm. You just damaged a bunch of fat in your arm. That, I mean, that's cheaper than
like
having
moved it. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not gonna make you any leaner. So.
Oh, that's a great. We let's come up with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Come see Justin. He'll punch you
in the side, and then you'll get rid of those love handles. you dumbass.
He beats the fat off
here,
you.
I think this one. Here's one that's. I think this one. Hopefully, not hopefully. This will probably hit home for more people as far as one of the most common things that I see is you go from not working out. Not doing cardio, not really doing shit really, but your job probably or whatever it is you do from 9 to 5 and eating shit food, you know, fast food, sodas, ice creams, all kinds of whatever, tons of excess calories your body doesn't need. And then you decide it's time to get in shape and you go to literally, I mean, a quarter of the caloric intake that you were probably taking. You're working out as many days as you can get to the gym as possible. And you're going as hard as you possibly can.
People go down
can.
To like 500 calories. Stupid.
And it's
thing.
Like, it's so hard for me to see that. And I, you know, and it's so common to, and I really feel when I get some, like somebody who's really, really overweight and they're doing that. If you're like 250, 300 plus pounds, and I see you eating like 800-900 calories and doing all that, I'm going like, oh my God, you are just destroying that metabolism right now and making it so much harder than what it needs to be.
But we're talking about elongated periods of like, I'm not, because like, you know, we kind of mentioned before about the intermittent fasting, and so that's a totally different.
No. This is someone who goes 800 calories for months every day.
Yes,
your body ends up it ends up trying to adapt to 800 calories is what ends up happening.
Exactly.
So they've done studies. They've done studies on people like POWs, people who have been prisoners of war for long periods of time and fed very very low calories, and their bodies slow down. Considerably to survive. Yeah. So your body will adapt.
Conserve energy. It's just a natural thing.
Yeah, your body's number one goal is to live. So if you're giving it 800 calories, it will figure out a way to live on 800 calories a day.
Basically like, you know, protecting the vital organs and things to function properly still.
It'll make you really tired, make you really lazy, so you don't move. Right.
Whole essential amino acids and all that, that's why that's essential.
Mm-hmm. It'll burn muscle to slow your metabolism down. That's definitely, that'll happen. Remember, your body wants to stay alive above all things. And it only keeps muscle if it absolutely thinks it has to. Those prolonged periods of low calories are incredibly ineffective.
Detrimental.
You know what's really popular now that really gets on my nerves? I mean, to no end. And I see this in the fitness world, especially the competitive fitness world. And you'll know it by the acronym IIFYM, which stands for If It Fits Your Macros.
This becomes like a heated topic a lot of times. Boy, I see it like, you know, if anybody... And now I look into like cultism again here, right? Like this is one of those like fringing kind of things. Like I see some benefits to it, and I do, and I'm not like 100% like clean eater. Like I'm in quotation marks here, but at the same time, like what are you really doing to, you know, benefit your health as well as, you know, obtaining that sort of physique that you're trying to achieve?
Well, let's explain what this IIFYM is. It fits your macros.
Before you explain it, let me interrupt real quick and just because what I want to say before Sal does explain it very well, which I know he will, is you didn't fucking invent anything.
Yeah.
Counting macronutrients isn't new science. Topic. It's not, you know, so by naming it something fancy, and dressing it up a little bit and then posting pictures of fucking quest bars and you know, all
it's
kinds
pretty
of
much just
treats.
Like acronyms that I see riddled across the entire fitness community. Right. And yes, I'm putting you on blast again, CrossFit, for this. I'm fucking tired of it. Stop it.
Well, so
Metcons and, you know, WODs and stop it.
So here's what it is. Basically, in a nutshell, and it is in a nutshell because it's incredibly basic. Eat whatever the fuck you want as long as it fits your calories, your proteins, your fats, and your carbohydrates. So if it fits your macros, it doesn't matter if it's a Pop-Tart or if it's oatmeal or if it's a yam. It doesn't matter if your protein, if you're eating a chicken breast, a fried, you know, KFC chicken, or, you know, a piece of gristle. As long as it fits within your macros, then it doesn't matter where it comes from. And here's the problem with that. They are completely 100% disregarding health. It's 100% about you're going to get lean. Yeah, you're going to get lean and you're going to build muscle because ultimately it's about how many calories you eat. But at the end of the day, do you want to be lean and unhealthy, or do you want to be lean and healthy?
Which I think it seems such common sense. So why this gets into these crazy heated debates that just piggybacks off what Justin said, it's so cult-like, because how can you sit across from me and defend this and try and tell me that a Pop-Tart is as healthy for you as a sweet potato and 3 ounces of chicken?
Yeah.
You know, or whatever the macronutrient breakdown
and
of a
right
Pop-Tart.
There, here's the response is that, like, you know, in terms of unhealthy, like, relationships with food, like, this would be the approach to take.
Oh, exactly. Right. Their defense
is because of the psychological aspects of it.
They take that. And I know that's Lane Norton saying that's his direction with Sohi. And then I know that's where they go. They go with the, you know, you want to make yourself or you don't want to risk the psychological part of being dependent without that. And then over binging when you get over, like, no, it's not like that. And it's not saying you can't ever have a Pop-Tart, but you most ideally would rather get you from whole foods that are rich in vitamins and minerals.
And a lot of shit that we don't even know.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of stuff that, and you cannot tell me in a processed Pop-Tart is going to, yes, it will keep you at that body, yeah, that body weight. If you're trying to maintain your weight and you eat 70 calories of Pop-Tart and 70 calories of sweet potato, it's exactly the same thing from a caloric standpoint and from maintaining weight. But from, like, a health standpoint, you can't argue that. I don't care. I'm sorry. That's
well here's the thing. There's, you know, and science is really good. And I always back science, right? And they're going to say to you, well, the science shows that this and that, you know, that the macronutrients are important in calories. And yes, they are. But here's the problem with science. Science only knows what to test, what it knows to test. Right. So they don't know things like right now it's a fucking huge mystery, your bacterial gut flora. And I brought this up in the past.
Yeah,
it's a huge fucking mystery. But we do know that it plays a major part in your immune system health, in autoimmune issues. It plays a huge part in how chemicals that your body produces. Did you know that your gut is the second highest concentration of serotonin receptors in the body? They call it the second brain. And you're getting all these people with food intolerance issues now, things like who say, I can't eat gluten, or I can't eat this, or I can't eat that. And it's at a much higher rate.
Where did it come from?
Yeah. So yeah, you might have the same carbohydrates and the same calories, but it's affecting your bodies in ways that we don't quite know how to test. Mm. And what's funny is you're seeing this rise in athletes who are doing this, if it fits your macros shit, this rise in athletes now that are having glucose tolerance issues. They're having health issues. Yeah, they're lean. Yeah, they can perform, but their health isn't so good. And are they going to look good 20 years from now with these type of health problems? So, you know, I'm sick and tired of fitness separating health from cosmetic, separating health from performance.
Absolutely.
I am sick and tired of it. We need to change this mentality, and I hope it starts here. Health means you look good. Yeah. Health means you can perform.
Right.
They are one and the same. As a matter of fact, I'll argue this all day long, especially if you're a natural athlete. If you're healthy, you will perform better than if you're unhealthy, even if you're lean both times, even if you're muscular both ways.
Absolutely.
So, and as fitness professionals, I understand nobody's perfect. But if I'm going to preach anything, I'm going to preach the healthy way to do something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so if it fits your macros, can kiss my ass, because yes, it fits your macros. That's wonderful. But there's a lot more to food than just that. And if you call yourself a fitness professional and you're advocating for that and you're not telling people, hey, listen, guys, I just tell people who go on stage this because they just want to look a certain way and not because their health, and you're not discerning that to your audience, you're doing a huge disservice to the fitness industry.
Well, I look at it as anything else. Like there's ways to infuse discipline in your life, and it might be as simple things where, you know, like things are hard for a reason, and you benefit from them by enduring and getting through things. So it is hard for a lot of people to follow a specific regimen, like even if it's especially eating, because eating is such a social thing. There's so many variables. There's so and so. I'm over here, and then there's time issues, and there's this and that. But the fundamental issue for me is that they need to understand that, you know, what is the most optimal way to approach it. So what are the best things for your body to process at its highest functionality? So. And that's definitely internally. So internally, this is your engine you're running on, right? Mm-hmm. So if your engine, you know, if you're consuming all these inflammatory foods that, you know, might give you the energy that's going to produce what you need for your workout, and you're going to benefit physically from it, you know, even still internally, you're fighting all this inflammation. And so that's something that's going to rise up.
It's funny. I know all these issues. I know all these trainers. I know all these fitness people who've been in the industry as long as I have. So now they're in their mid-30s, and they're all coming to me and saying, "Oh, I can't have dairy anymore. Mm-hmm. It fucks me up." Or, "I can't have gluten." It's like all of a sudden, or, "I'm getting psoriasis now," or, "I have irritable bowel syndrome," or, "I have my joints feel inflamed, and this used to not be an issue anymore." And these are all issues that are happening now because 10 years ago, we were eating our proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. A lot of it came from protein powders. A lot of it came from meal replacements and bars and processed foods. Mm-hmm. And we weren't paying attention to those types of things. You know, it's interesting. Artificial sweeteners, right? No calories, right? So I'm going to have this Diet Coke. It's got nothing in it in terms of calories. So it should be fine, right? Yes, from a get fatter perspective, it's fine. But you know what they find now? Those artificial sweeteners fundamentally alter, again, the gut flora. Mm-hmm. And they're finding now in long-term studies that people who consume lots of these still get issues with glucose dependent with the way their body processes glucose.
Right.
It's like pre-diabetes.
That's such a great point.
Yeah, it's like pre-diabetes. So, and that fits your macros. There's zero mm-hmm. calories in a Diet Coke.
Right.
Right. But yet we're finding some of these problems happen. So, you know, and again, you know, Adam, Justin was talking about, about being perfect with your diet and, you know, this and that. Listen, there's also... health also encompasses your social well-being. It also encompasses your mental well-being. And look, you know, I'm a first-generation American. My family's from Italy. We celebrate food. Italians are known for our food. And on Sunday dinners, you know, when mom cooks, you know, these huge meals, I'm going to enjoy myself. Because at that moment, what's healthier for me isn't necessarily that I need to eat perfect, but it's that I'm going to enjoy my family,
mm-hmm.
right? So I'm, you know, we're not advocating to be perfect, but what we are saying is,
just understand.
Yeah, understand. That's educate
all. The
yourself.
Only point. Yeah, the That's only point right. I was making with that is like there needs to be a spectrum for you to be able to refer to, right?
That's it.
And me personally, I'm not that strict. I cannot do that and sustain it. So what I can do that's sustainable in my life that lowers my stress levels and optimizes my energy and helps me perform better in my lifts, that's what I'm going to lean mm-hmm. towards. And if I can optimize that by, you know, adding more dense nutrient filled foods, I'm going to do that. And so that's really what I'm advocating. It's not that, not this mentality of restriction. It's this mentality of optimizing. It's right. It's optimizing your patterns. It's understanding your body and understanding what you're doing to your body. And then you make decisions accordingly. And as you create your own patterns, that's what you continue to do. And so that's, you know, it's a hard concept because people immediately revert to that. They'll say like, well, you know, I can't do that. Yeah. I can't be like that restrictive and,
yeah, you don't
I can't
have
eat
to be.
Clean all the time, and
you don't have to be. And you know, in looking at body fat percentages, you know, because people think lean is healthy or super lean, I have a six pack, I'm healthy. There's a huge range of health when it comes to body fat percentages. So you could be a guy with 8% body fat or 17% body fat and have excellent health both ways.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean you're healthy if you're lean necessarily, or if you have a little bit of fat around the middle that you're unhealthy. The unhealthy effects from body fat start to happen much later, as a matter of fact. So again, getting lean doesn't mean you're necessarily getting healthy. And again, and if you're a little fatter or you have a little bit of, you know, weight around the middle, that doesn't mean you're unhealthy. There's a big range. With women, the range is even bigger. Mm-hmm. Women can go much higher in body fat percentage and have excellent long-term health and longevity. And actually,
that's more advantageous for them anyway.
For estrogen levels and things like that too, right?
Yeah, they have to.
It's all related to that.
So I'd say right now that in the industry that I see that really irritates me the most, it's that, man. When I see them advocating that if it fits your macros, and then what they're doing, they're using an excuse to eat shitty food.
Oh, that's what drives
me. And they have a big, picture of pizza. I'll be on Instagram. There'll be a picture of pizza, and then the dude will post under it. You know, it fits my macros, so I can eat it. You know, and it's like, okay,
that's the part.
Why don't you just say you're eating pizza and you're enjoying it? Stop being an asshole and tell everybody you're awesome because you're eating pizza. And
that's the part that annoys me is that it's you're advocating something that, first of all, let's be honest, if you're someone doing that and that's all the food all you're eating, most of the time you're somebody who's fat and out of shape and you're not really truly following your macros. And or the flip side, you've got somebody who's in really great shape. He's phenomenal shape. And then he's promoting that, but he's never showing all the clean things that he's eating and the other right stuff that he's eating in order to look the way he's looking. He's just posting all the cheat meals, all the bad shit they're eating. So people get this impression that, like, oh, if it fits your macros, and if I can, that means I can eat Pop-Tarts every single day.
Yeah, now, I see Pop-Tarts and donuts.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the big thing is like immediately, and I see this more from a marketing perspective. Like, this is like something where, If they can write a nutrition plan that allows them to have donuts and Pop Tarts and shit in it, like they're like, oh, I'm gonna tag this person. Oh, check this out, so and so. You know, we can have donuts, yay! And it's like this mentality that, like, you know, it's just an unhealthy mentality overall. Is that, you know, I have this association with food that's so, it's like I'm horny for food.
Yeah,
that's what I asked.
Which is funny because, like you said earlier, their argument back to you would be the psychological side and how positive it is because you allow that. And that's where if somebody would ask me, I've had a Pop-Tart in the last month. I had a Pop-Tart 3 or 4 days ago. Mm-hmm. Before that, I don't know, quite a while before that, the last time I wanted one. You know, if I want something really bad and I haven't had it for a really long time, like, and it's the right time, I feel like, and I'm gonna treat myself to it. Am I gonna continue to have that every single day? Hell no, because I know the adverse effects and I don't know all the adverse effects of what could cause if I continue to do that, and I know what my body needs. So, I think what we're saying too is that it's not that you can't have those things. It's not that you can.
But we're not going to tell you that it's good for you because it fits your macros.
No, yeah, exactly. It's not like I'm writing this into your plan.
So check this out. This is one of the most common questions I get when I take somebody on from online, right? That's found me and I'm started coaching them from like a social media platform. The very first thing they ask me is like, "Oh, so how do you do cheat meals? What are your cheat meals?" And I said, "You know what? Let me talk to you a little bit about how I feel about cheat meals before we get into that." And I say, "You know, what I used to call a cheat meal when I'm dieting or focusing on whatever it is I'm doing as far as trying to change my body composition, I called that fucking up. And so my goal was to always eat, you know, everything from clean, raw, whole foods as much as possible." And, you know, if I did that, then I did it, but I wasn't trying to do it. I most certainly wasn't fucking scheduling it every single week. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that actually creates worse patterns. And one of the things I've noticed with myself when I am dieting and I'm eating, it's amazing. When I've been eating real clean, raw, whole foods for extended periods of time, now I don't know the science behind this, maybe Sal does, but when I go for extended periods of time and I bite into an apple or like a spoonful of
peanut. Candy.
Oh my God. It's amazing.
Well, how about when you do have the cheat meal? Aren't you fucked up for the next 2 days? Like my appetite, I crave that shit.
Exactly. Your body chemistry almost changed. I feel like, I don't know. It just feels like that. Like you it's repulsive almost on some level.
But if then you've been going it.
So yeah. clean. Yeah. But yeah, like you said, then things you taste.
And what I notice if I allowed, like let's say, because don't get me wrong. I don't think I haven't tried to schedule a cheat meal. Okay, let's see what this is all about. Let's see if this works for me. And no, what it does is make me want more. Mm-hmm. I eat one bad thing and it makes me go like, oh, okay. The first one's upsetting. The second one makes
right.
me.
And then it becomes this restrictive game for you.
Exactly.
Like, you know, I can't.
And then
have
I can't
it.
Wait till next. Till Saturday. Cheat day Saturday. That's like the big thing on Instagram right now.
Can't
too.
Wait.
Like, Saturday cheat day. You know. So you got all these people that are following that are cheating on Saturday. That's like, you know, in their head because they're like, oh, we worked out all week long and you can't wait to get till Saturday.
Yeah.
And we're gonna just go to town, dude. Never goes down. They're just wondering why they.
And
still
then that's
the
where
same.
All the pictures come out with, like, you know, the three pizza boxes empty and.
Yeah, you know, though it'll say something.
Crazy.
It'll say something like this happened, and then on top, and then like the picture will be like, you know, five, you know, In-N-Out burgers or something like that.
Yeah,
you know, it's actually it's funny because it's actually when you break it down, it's much simpler than they try to make it sound. Right, it's much much simpler than they make it sound. All these different things that are coming out, all you know, that are rehashed old diets. If it fits your macros, is not new science, like you said. These are things people have been doing for a long time. Ultimately, you eat less calories than you burn. You'll start losing weight. If you feed your body what it needs, then it's going to do okay. And if you eat whole, you know, natural foods, then you're going to have better health. And another one for me is the fat burning supplements that people will take. And they'll be like, oh, I took this supplement and I lost weight on it. Well, here's how fat burners work. It's pretty simple. A fat burner is a central nervous system stimulant. And it's an appetite suppressant. That's it. So it's going to make you feel wired. And it's going to make you not want to eat. And that's how some fat burners end up working.
Mm-hmm.
The effect is temporary. The effect is stress-induced.
And it only works on some people.
Most people lose muscle on them because that stress effect actually burns everything. You feel like shit. And then you go off of them and you get this rebound effect where your body now has been used to this heavy stimulant. And now you feel like you're dead because you're not taking, you know, your Xenadrin 5000. Like you were before. So, I mean, it's really pretty simple, ladies and gentlemen. I promise you. It's really, really, if you want to look into some, like, good detailed science and you want to learn some new stuff, look into the science of how your body utilizes enzymes to break foods down. Mm. Look into the science of fasting. Look into the science of your internal flora, your gut flora. Look into how chemicals of your brain and moods react to foods. Those are new sciences that we haven't that they haven't
they're
talked
pioneering,
about.
But they're pioneering, but they have very promising.
Exactly, yeah, and then you'll learn more. You'll learn much more from those types of things. And
right. You
know, we're actually in the process. You know, I think I can reveal to these guys that we're in the process of talking about some of these things, or actually how putting some of this together for some of our listeners.
Well, now it's got what am I going on now? I'm like on month five or six of our training program that we've been designing and putting together, and working all our nutrition and stuff. So. Yeah, no, I mean,
we'll show them. Yeah, we'll show you guys.
No, I'm excited, definitely. I mean, I can say that I've never felt so great in my life from all perspectives. You know, to think that, you know, and I'm not old. Okay, I'm 33 years old.
Speak for yourself.
I'm 33 years old, so I like to think I still got some spunk in me. But I definitely feel the best of it. I feel the best. I'm aesthetically the best I've ever been in my life. And you know, the crazy part about it is, like,
you're the handsomest you've ever been.
I'm not working out the hardest I've worked out in my life.
You're working out the smartest.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, the way I train now is so crazy. You know, it's so crazy in comparison to my mentality before. You know, it's much easier than what people make it. I mean, and that's one of the things I actually mm-hmm. preach to a lot of these athletes that I take on is they always talk to me about their previous coach and, oh, it was so tough. And it's almost like these athletes, it's like a bragging rights on who went through the more miserable prep.
We need to eradicate that.
Oh, dude,
mentality.
It's like, it is. It's like this, like, oh, dude, I didn't eat for this or this and I had this all I've had. And I did had to get up and do cardio for 1 hour in the morning. Then I did it again for this. And then I came back to this. And it's like this, oh, I can barely fucking walk.
Well, it's a rite of passage.
I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I can barely, I had to call in sick to work. It's like, dude. What the fuck, bro? Yeah. You ain't got to be that miserable, dude.
Yeah.
And you have no idea how counterproductive that is. Like, it's only going to be
wiping yourself out. Oh, and then, how productive are you going to be long-term?
It's so awesome because when we were getting into this, there was none of this. There was nobody doing what we're doing right now. Like, ladies and gentlemen, listeners, this is the first time you're hearing people tell you the straight truth.
Oh, yeah.
About nutrition, about fitness.
Oh, man, I wish I had this one.
I wish I had 20 years.
Are you kidding me?
We're giving it to you real. There's no script here.
We're telling
you what the absolute 100% truth of how things work. This is not us making shit up. This is legit. And God, I wish I had this information. It would have been years of wasted time.
And pain and struggle going through that.
And years of trial
and error. It's not like it's our fault. Like, we were stupid back then and we're just so much more intelligent now than probably were there. I mean,
we're just relying on the information that was in front of us.
This is the other thing too, why I like to teach all different facets of training, all different facets of dieting, is because it's science. It's always evolving. Mm-hmm. You know, where we're at today versus where we were at 10 years. I'm sure you both remember this evolution of, I remember I was training before fucking foam rolling and stability balls.
I know. Like remember stability balls? It got a little out of hand.
Fun about how long we've been in this industry is we've watched pendulums swing from one side to the other. You went from like no stability balls, no foam rolls to every fucking trainer making his client stand or balance on a stability ball and do every single.
Can I just say a short rant about?
Wait, we should say that we can talk about this.
Let me just give you a short rant.
Why don't we talk about that next?
Yeah, I'll do. I mean, here's a short rant.
He wants to get it. Let me get it in.
If you're doing barbell squat. On a stability ball.
I was going to say
that. You're a fucking idiot.
You are a complete douchebag, by the way.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.